Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Adrenalized Life Podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. We are going to be speaking to another coach. It's the first time that I'm going to be interviewing a coach on this podcast, but Lisa is amazing. She brings such incredible energy, and you know, I just think you're going to enjoy every bit of this podcast, and I think you'll really get something out of it.
Welcome to the Adrenalized Life Podcast. We will help you choose your adrenalized life. Whether you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or executive, we will help you create life harmony and bridge the gaps in your personal and professional life. If you struggle with stress, burnout, or are overwhelmed, we will adrenalize you to activate your desire to change and transform your life. Now, please welcome your host and coach, Tom Marino.
Let's introduce you to Lisa Miller, who is a coach who helps women who are single mamas and divorced. And welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm so honored. I'm your first new coach on your podcast.
Exactly.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're the first coach that I've had. We know each other pretty well at this point, and we've been talking back and forth. Actually, Lisa and I met through our business coach. Mm-hmm. We met a couple of months ago when we both signed up for the same program. You've had some tremendous success with that in the last several weeks, really showing what doing the work and showing up consistently is all about. And yeah. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be coaching. It's been really a great experience so far. So I love helping other women. And I have to say, like, it like just fills me up so much. So I love that we're doing this too. Anything I can
Absolutely.
Do?
I'm excited. I really am excited for you to, you know, to really start your full coaching journey at this point, right? I mean, you've gone now full time into your coaching. You started it when you part time. Now you've kind of been thrust into it full time. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what inspired you to go into coaching? What was that whole journey to this point?
Yeah. So I am a divorced single mom.
Who you like.
Yeah. So like, let's start there. But when I was kind of like, you know, like I was married for almost 14 years. I was with my ex-husband almost 20 years. And when I was kind of put in the situation where I was trying to decide, should I stay, should I go? I was seeing a therapist. I saw a therapist for many years, and I believe very wholeheartedly in therapy. So I want to make sure I put that out there. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like took a step back and didn't do anything. I didn't do any coaching. I didn't do any therapy. I did nothing. And then as I was like going through like the separation, we were separated actually for a long time before I actually got divorced. I'm kind of just trying to find my way. I got a coach who really, mm-hmm. truly transformed my life in so many different ways. And at the end of it all, I was like, I want to do this. I want to help other women going through a divorce. It's a very, very lonely, hard process. And I just didn't want anyone to feel that they are doing it alone, because there are so many resources and so many people out there to help them. And you just have to find your right person. And it makes the journey such a more of a peaceful, healing, calming journey, as right. opposed to a chaotic, crazy, am I going to just really be messing up my life journey? So I did that. I went and I became a certified coach. I went back to school, became a certified coach, and then I started my own coaching business.
That is awesome. So, you know, we're always told to, you know, work with people that are like us. Right. Mm-hmm. Work with people that have been on similar journeys, that are even maybe at the same point in their journey as we are. And as much as we coach people, people help to coach us. And it's really, you know, I've really seen that in my practice. I've seen it in other coaches' practices, just when they talk about it. It's such an important thing energetically to be able to connect with your clients. Right. I mean, when
Absolutely.
You find somebody that's a perfect yeah. client, right, it's about mm-hmm. the energy.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And you know, that connection, I think, is what gets people off on the right foot. Right. I think mm-hmm. that's as coaches, I always say you have to be energetically connected, and yeah. people are like, well, what does that really mean? And what does that mean to you? Like, when you find that right client and their energy is flowing off of yours, what does that really mean for you?
I mean, I think it means a few things. One, I love what you just said, like, you know, like they coach us in a sense, like we mm-hmm. level up together, you know? So right. I find that I am continually doing the work and getting coaching because the more I learn, the more I benefit my clients. And I love that. Like, I want to just keep leveling up and having more resources to give to my clients. Right. So I think,
right.
I think that's part of it. I think the other part energetically is like just like knowing and having empathy of where someone is. And then on their half, seeing someone who's been through it and is now in a better place and is happy. And like, and then you put those two energies together and you're like, it's like magic, you know? And,
right.
And you feel that. You feel that all the time. You feel that in the very first phone call. They feel it. That's why they're like, this, I need this. This is, and you know, between you and I, like we both know, like no one quote unquote needs a coach. This is like something you want to improve your life. This is when you're like at a point where you're just like, I'm ready to do the work and I need guidance and I need that. And they find the right fit. And it's like, it's really just like, it's an amazing experience on both sides.
Right. And I think that that is such an important point. Like when the energies come together and you start working with that person, there's so much more momentum than when somebody is not embracing that kind of energy. You know, I've been working with some people for a while now, and there's some people that I just absolutely love working with, right?
Yeah.
Not to discredit anybody that I work with, but there is just some people that energetically are just at that higher level energetically and meet my energy, and we're able to really do this incredible work together. And they move mountains, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And I come out of those calls very adrenalized, as I always
energized,
say.
Energized, right? Of course.
And
yeah.
You're energized and your heart's racing, you feel good, you have the endorphins kicked in. It's like doing a workout and making sure that at the end of that workout you're feeling all the highs of that workout. And that's how I feel sometimes with very specific clients.
Yeah.
And I think that's one way as coaches that I think we have to remember how to preserve ourselves is if we find people that are draining our energy as a coach, it's really a sign that maybe we shouldn't be working for them for extended periods of time, get them to where they need to be, and then let them go back out to the universe to find the next person on their journey. You know, and that's what it's really about, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because like the more people you work with, the more you feel that, right? And like there's some clients that are just so open and like ready and like they just embody what you're saying and they take it such to heart and they do the work, they do the homework, they ask the questions. I use the Voxer app so my clients can get in touch with me, you know, throughout the week and whatnot. And they're the ones like reaching out and being like, I just got triggered or this or that. And you can just feel them wanting. And and I will say like they transform way faster than the person that's like resisting and, you know, questioning every single thing that's being talked about. And like, it's definitely a more enjoyable experience when someone comes to you and they're really ready. And I think ultimately, people come to you and they think they're ready, and then they're like, they're scared, you know? And so it's kind of like uncovering that fear and like kind of just like walking them at a slower pace. But, you know, as a coach, we get excited and we're like, we want to help you help yourself, you know? So
exactly. And that's, you know, that you just made some really good points, right? The key is the person's motivation and their readiness for the change, right? The more motivated they are, the more we're going to be able to get done, right?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get people to that 10, right? We ask them all the time, on a scale of 1 to 10, how motivated are you to do the work? And if somebody is at a 7 or an 8, what is it going to take to get to that 10? Mm-hmm. And if they really can embrace that and we get them to that 10, then they're somebody that's much easier to work with because they're ready to do the work.
Right.
The people who are like that 4, 5, or 6, I go, I don't know if you're ready at this point. And and that's one of the things.
They're not.
They're usually not. They're usually not. And it's usually a struggle. And it's usually those are the people that
not enjoyable
feel,
for anyone.
Right. It's not an energetic connection at that point.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really difficult. So, you know, identifying someone who has that energetic connection, we ask them, you know, that motivation question. But Lisa, how do you, when you identify someone or you're someone reaches out and they want coaching from you, what's your process around that?
So what I do is usually they'll reach out to me through my Instagram account. They'll DM me. We'll have like a little conversation going back and forth. And then I get on a call and okay. I want to kind of hear their story, see kind of where they're at and get really like comfortable and familiar with like where their motivation is. Right. And mm-hmm. you can tell pretty quickly if someone's just like really wanting to take that next step and get the work and like do the inner work. Cause it's inner right. and outer, right? Like you have to do right. the inner to get the outer. And I think like, you know, you ask like some very like straightforward questions and however honest they are and however, willing they are to share their journey in that first conversation, it's very telling on how much they want to do the work. And then, you know, for me, if they're not an 8 or higher, I don't actually take them on as a client. Because I don't enjoy the struggle, you know, that I shouldn't say the struggle, like the struggle isn't it. It's just, they're not ready and they're not going to do the work.
Right. And you almost know that right out the gate. And this is someone who is going to take that much more effort for, and it's not that we don't want to do the work ourselves. Our job as coaches is to do the work as our clients yeah. are doing their work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to have someone who is a good fit, who mm-hmm. meshes with your energy, who is getting it, who understands it. And, you know, that's critical. That's yeah. a critical part of the coaching, beginning the coaching relationship is how yeah. well that lock and key literally fits. Now, absolutely. what are some of the big questions or the big issues that you're seeing in the type of clients that you are working with or attracting? What is their big stuck point or what is their mm-hmm. issue that they're going through at that moment that they come and talk to you?
Yeah. So I would say that there's two. I have a lot of clients that come to me with, I'm trying to save my marriage and I don't know what to do. And I love love. So I want to put that out there. I'm not like, you need to get divorced. Like, no, like I actually really like, if you are in a place where you're like, I want my marriage to work and I'm stuck, I'm more than happy to talk to you and see if we could work together. Mm-hmm. And then I get a lot of clients who are, I guess there's three of them, the ones that are going through the divorce and are just like, I want to let him go and I can't. And so it's a lot of finding our self-worth, finding our self-love, rebuilding our confidence so that like we can let the ex go. And then I also have the client that has been divorced maybe like, I don't know, between like 2 and 5 years, it's not a set number, but like somewhere in that range. And they're just like, got divorced, but like, they're just still not feeling themselves. So it's the same like rebuild of the confidence and rebuilding of the self-worth and just like finding themselves again. So like really like taking their power back and embodying like the badass woman that they are.
Right. And that's such an interesting point. I know you said you love love and we all love love and we all want to be in love. And that's what our soul's purpose is here is to love. Right. I mean, right. that's what we're
to be connected. Right.
Right. To be connected to people energetically who are yeah. people that we can also have intimate and deep relationships with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, divorce takes on such a negative, you know, understanding, such a negative position so many times, yeah. you know, not to bash lawyers, but sometimes it's very cutthroat, right? In some situations, more and more people, I believe, are using mediators so that the mm-hmm. relationships are more amicable in their beginning of their divorced relationship, right?
Yeah.
Especially when there's kids involved and you've been with somebody for so long, mm-hmm. right? You said yeah. you were married for 14 years before you got divorced. And
yeah.
I just worked with a client myself who she's been married for 25 years, but the last 5 years, it's been like living with her best friend. And
yeah.
sometimes that happens. And you yeah. know, I always tell people a relationship can end and you can move on. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I always joke too that like, you know, when marriage was first instituted, the life expectancy was only 35 or 40 years old,
yeah.
right? So,
yeah.
So if you're 35 or 40 and you're contemplating divorce, well, that debt to do your part, you know, piece yeah. Is there. But, you know, yeah. I jest about that. But the thing is that I think that, like anything else, marital relationships waver and go through their periods and their ebbs and flows. And, you know, people talk about the 7-year itch and all of mm-hmm. that stuff. And I think those are all moments where you either grow and you get stronger or you grow apart and you decide yeah. amicably, or you should decide amicably to move on to the next person, the next situation, the next relationship. You know,
yeah.
Is that something that you see in a lot of people that have had good divorces, that they have more of that mindset? Or, you know, what are you seeing?
I mean, I would say, unfortunately, there's not very many amicable divorces. I mean, there's definitely out there, right? I don't want to say there aren't. I actually had a very amicable divorce. So they do exist. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Emotions are high. I tell all of my clients, just because you're not amicable or friendly now, that doesn't mean that's going to be forever. You know, just right. like anything, there are ebbs and flows to life, right? And mm-hmm. like that's an important fact. Like, I think everyone thinks like, oh my gosh, we hate each other now, it's going to be like this forever. Like, that's just not the case. And again, doing the work that you and I do, it's a ripple effect, right? So
yep.
when you start to heal from the inside out and you start to level up, your relationships all benefit from that, right? So you become a better mom, you become a better dad, you become a better partner, mm-hmm. you become a better friend, you become a better worker, colleague, whatever it is, it spreads throughout. So another issue that I deal with a lot in my field is co-parenting, right? And that really mm-hmm. just goes down to communication. And it's really hard to communicate with someone that you don't like, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of struggle there. But again, like—
And the kids wind up in the middle when that happens.
Right. So, and that's, you know, kind of my job is to make everyone aware that, hey, look, like, let's make this as amicable and peaceful and loving for the kids, because they didn't ask for this, you know?
Right.
And that happens when we do feel worthy and when we do have more confidence, like things that like used to really trigger us and bother us don't as much anymore. And we're able to right. see things through a different lens.
Right. And that is, you know, and I say that to people all the time when, you know, when I work with a lot of, you know, people that are small business owners, and, you know, and running a business and running a marriage are two very difficult things to do mm-hmm. at the same time. Yeah. Right. And when people go into this period of struggle and growth where they are coming out of a comfort zone and they're growing and they want to stay in the marriage, and as much as they're uncomfortable and they hate it, and they can easily sink into that, I'm just going to stay for the sake of the kids and I'm not mm-hmm. going to do anything to make anything better.
Yeah.
And what you have to recognize is that getting divorced, a lot of parents become better parents because they are divorced.
Yeah.
A lot of, right?
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I was going through therapy, like prior to my divorce, my therapist said something really interesting to me, which changed the game for me. So if it's okay, can I share that with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But she said to me, she's like, you know, everyone stays together for the kids. That's like what, like our natural mm-hmm. reaction is like, we have to stay together for the kids. Society kind of puts it on us. Like, if you get divorced, you're a failure. I don't want to fail, you know?
Right.
I don't want that stigma.
It's so negative. It is such yeah. a negative experience.
Yeah. So she said to me, she's like, you know, what you're showing your kids right now, she's like, that's not love. And if you're okay with this being the example of what love right. is, she's like, then stay. She's like, but if you right. want something different, if you want something better for your kids, reevaluate your situation. And
right.
I was like,
because that is mind blowing to so many people, right?
Yeah.
Because what I usually say to someone when they're thinking about separating or thinking about getting divorced, and I go, are you the best version of a parent that you can be at this time? Right. Mm-hmm. And they go, no. And I go, do you think if you got out of this situation, you would be a better parent?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, absolutely.
That's great. Yeah.
Right. And what lesson, and then I say, what lesson are you trying to teach your children from this experience? Right. Mm-hmm. Because we want to teach our children to take care of themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. We want to teach them.
And we're their model.
Right. And we're their role model, and we're their reference point, and how mm-hmm. we handle things is how they will most likely learn to handle things. And if we don't do it right, what do? They'll hopefully do it better than we did it.
Right.
But at the same time, when people are talking about getting divorced, I go, listen, this is the greatest act of self-love that you can give yourself if you are in a relationship where it's loveless.
Yeah.
And you will be the best parent, and you will teach your children about self-love, self-care, mm-hmm. and the importance of really honoring your feelings and your truths. And if that person that you're with is no longer
your person,
a person who builds you up, or that person, right, or your person, mm-hmm. then you have to let them go in love, in gratitude, right?
Yeah.
And that's what makes the experience different.
Yeah. And you know, and that's like, there's so many beautiful lessons in what you just said, right? But nobody looks at it that way from the get-go. It's looked at as like super doom and gloom. And by all means, like I do want to say it is a very hard, hard, heartbreaking process, right? So I don't want to devalue that at all. But I do want to say that like when you get through the storm, there's so much magic. And when you start to really grasp everything that you just said and all like that you, there is a lot of self-love and there is a lot of self-worth and there is, there's so many other lessons that you are teaching your children and mm-hmm. yourself. That's where the magic is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of this person in particular because I just worked with her, right? 25 years of marriage, never handled the bills, never understood how things got done, didn't know about certain things, and just was in that place of, I don't know any of this stuff. When I was asking her, okay, well, did you talk about this? Did you talk about that? Did mm-hmm. you figure out, you know, what's going on? What, you know, what you're going to do here when the divorce is final and things, it's overwhelming and was overwhelming for her to have to process all of that.
Sure.
But she wound up, he wound up buying her out of the house. She wound up buying her own house. She now is in contract on a new house. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like 6 months ago, she couldn't have fathomed being so independent. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of women and a lot of men, depending on who's managing things in the household, feel that sense of freedom and that sense of independence when they go through this process. Yeah. As difficult as it is emotionally, there is so much gain from the experience that you would never have otherwise gained.
Yeah. I mean, you get to choose, right? Just like in anything in your life, you get to choose, like, am I going to come out of this stronger and happier and more confident, or am I going to be the victim and sit and like just be miserable? You know, like, you literally get to, like, there is a moment in your life that you get to choose which path you want to take, and the choice is yours, right? And like, and you get to decide, like, do I want to do this on my own, or do I want to get there quicker and faster and get like some guidance and some help? And like, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever feels good to you and how the path you want to go down.
And that is such an important point. No one can tell you how you feel in this situation. Your feelings are your own. You need to validate your feelings on your own. You need to seek validation only within yourself around it. You take the counsel of other people, but you know, there are a lot of bitter divorced people out there.
A lot.
Right? And they hate their former partner. And I always say, listen, you know what? You love your children? And they go, yes. I said, what if your main purpose to be together in a marriage was for that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And because that's true. It could be.
Right?
Like, we don't know.
It could be. We don't know what the full purpose is that people play in our lives at times.
Right.
And you know, it's a death of a relationship. It's the end of the relationship that once was, but it's also at the same time a rebirth of a relationship. There is a way to rebuild it.
Decide what that's going to look like, right?
And, exactly.
And whatever it is in that moment could change as well, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's just, you know, it's fluid. It's not something that just because you decide like at this moment in time, I can't have a relationship, doesn't mean you can't And when I say relationship, I mean like, you know, just an amicable, like co-parenting type thing.
Right. And you know, I think when you seize that opportunity to form a good relationship post the divorce, you're also teaching your children valuable lessons about being an adult, being a mature adult, and what it's really about and what you need to do. And when this woman told her kids, they were surprised, but they both said, you know, as long as the both of you are happy, that's all that matters. So they had that very mature approach. I mean, they're older kids, they're in college. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things where you go, I guess it could all work out the right way. And yeah, as long as you set it in motion from the right, from the beginning, it does get to that point. So let me ask you this question. Do you ever, you know, like, have you had opportunity to be involved in the preparation and conversation for how to tell the children or all of that? Or is that something that, or even your experience of that, what was your experience of that, and what your coach or your therapist, what did they support you in being able to facilitate that conversation? Because I know a lot of people struggle with that.
You know, I think it's a very personal conversation, and I don't think it's a one size fits all. I think it depends on your kids. I think it depends on your relationship with your kids. The way it went down in my life was my ex-husband and I sat down, my three kids, who at the time were, I think they were 9, 8, and 5. So they were young, and they all took it very differently. And, you know, we just, what we said to our children is, Mommy and Daddy are not going to live together anymore, but we will always be a family. And that was through the advice of a therapist. That's the way we should word it. And all due respect, that's really the truth of my life. Like, we don't live together. We're still a family. We do birthdays together. We don't do holidays together, but we do birthdays together. We talk, you know, about our kids and, you know, what's best for them. If like, something, if they're in trouble, they hear it from both of us. It's like, we definitely communicate a lot about our children. We don't communicate about like, I don't know if he's dating anyone, he doesn't know if I'm dating anyone, you know, things of that sort. We don't talk about, that's not where our relationship is. That's not where our comfort level is. But you know, if your kids are older, you would probably have a different conversation, you know, and they would understand it differently. I will say my 9-year-old was hysterical. My 8-year-old was kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And my 5-year-old could care less. So there you go.
Well, you know, and it is, you know, that's the other thing. Tell your kids the truth about the situation, right? Mommy and daddy are not going to live together anymore. This is how it's going to be. We're still going to be a family. You're reestablishing what that expectation needs to be. And, you know, as you were talking, one of the things that really came up for me there was the importance of setting really good boundaries in that post-divorce state, and understanding that there needs to be very healthy boundaries. You know, like, we're going to celebrate birthdays together, but we're not going to do holidays together. And we're going to, like, you seem to have very, very clear boundaries. I don't know if you sat down with your ex-husband and decided that this was the way it was going to be, or it formed on its own, but it's such an important thing that you're bringing out.
It was fluid. It changed over time. I would think, I think like the first year or two, we actually did do holidays together, and that slowly kind of faded away. And you know, it is what it is. Like, are there moments where I'm like, oh, I wish we still did holidays together. Like, yeah, for my kids' sake, I do. Like, it doesn't affect me one way or the other, but like, sometimes I feel like my kids would like that, but I've never really actually asked them. So maybe they don't care. I don't know. Maybe that's just my own story that I've put in my head, which we do a lot, right? Birthdays, it's like, it's about them. So like, we do it all together because that's like, it's for them, you know? And there's no like, I mean, my youngest son's birthday is coming up, and we're having a party at my house, and like, you know, his family's coming and my family and like all of my son's friends are going to be there. And that's how we do it, you know, but it's just, again, it's a work in progress. It's like, this is what works for us. And it's been this way for a long time now. But yeah. And, you know, that's why it's really important to have a really solid parenting plan. My clients that are going through a divorce, I highly recommend that they do that. Like, get as much detailed as possible, because you don't want to look back and like have to go to court. And that is when the animosity grows. That's when the anger starts. That's when the fighting erupts. But like, if it's all there in the get-go, there's very little to discuss. You know, it's all there in black and white.
Right. And it makes the whole process much more friendly. It makes it much more organized. It keeps a healthy dynamic to something that could be disastrously unhealthy. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lisa, I'm listening to you and I'm saying, well, you must be a tremendous coach for your clients because, you know, you just, I can hear how much you've healed and how much self-growth and self-reflection that you've done to really get yourself through your own experience, but now being able to help other women going through something very similar. So I could just hear that, you know, and if you're listening right now, I think it's really important that, you know, coaches niche in for a certain reason, right? And they niche to a certain type of coaching. And this is where it's really important that if you're going through a divorce, you work with a coach that has either been through one or has experience working with a lot of clients through that process and who really understands the importance for space, for amicability, for self-care, for parenting plans, and things like that. What are some other, like in your coaching business, you mentioned the parenting plan and a few other things. What are some of the key things that people can expect when they work with you around what you're going to cover in, you work with clients for like 3 months, right? Like what's typically, what are the alphabet soup of it? And then everything else is obviously extra, but what are the core things that you always work with every client on?
Yeah, I think the core things that I would say, like I tend to see over and over again is confidence. We dive real deep into confidence, which, and then these are all interconnected. It's like self-love and self-worth. It's like all those things. There's so many different amazing tools that like people just don't know about, you know, really making yourself a priority because as moms and as wives, like we tend to give to everyone else. And somewhere along the way, we have forgotten how to give to ourselves. So we work a lot with making ourselves the priority, filling our own cup, giving ourselves, you know, the validation that we have been seeking from everybody else in the world. Right. So those are some of the core things. Communication, being able to communicate with your ex in a loving and compassionate and graceful way is something we definitely work on as well. And then I have clients who are, you know, back in the dating world and that, you know, you're with someone for 10, 15, 20 years and back out there and they're like, how do I do this? You know? And so there's like, you know, there's a lot we discuss in there and like how to trust again, really. Right. And how to not have your wall up. That's like, that's a lot of that I work on with my clients too.
Yeah. I think you hit on a couple of really good ones. It's when you finally have that bit of freedom. The dating scene is a very dangerous and scary scene for a lot of women and men too. You know, it's one of those things where I was working with this guy that was going through a divorce and, you know, he met somebody so quickly and my reservation was, wouldn't you like to spend a little time with yourself first? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't you like yourself. To get to know yourself, date yourself, a great way to put it. And he wound up being with this person for about a year and a half before they broke up. And it was like, okay, now are you ready to recognize? Like, but people are so afraid of being alone.
Alone and being is terrifying.
Yeah, right? That's the biggest fear probably that I've seen with people that have gone through divorce and that are going through divorce. And I'm sure it's what you're seeing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the fear is what you said with your client who just jumped into something is when they're afraid to being alone, but also it's repeating patterns, right? Like you don't know what you don't know. And if you haven't done the work, you're going to just end up dating the same person with a different name and a different face. It's really like what you see time and time and time again. So it's really important to take a minute to just pause and breathe. And that's hard and it's scary because you're like and to heal, right? Like give yourself that gift.
Yep. That is probably the greatest gift you can give yourself is the opportunity to heal post that divorce. Yeah, right? Not rushing into anything, getting to know yourself again. Because listen, frankly, you change every 5 years, right? Yeah. Theoretically, we change every 5 years. We're changing all of the time. And a divorce is a pivotal milestone of change and mm-hmm. learning so many new things about yourself that maybe you didn't recognize the first time around. Maybe you were too young yeah. when you got married. And I don't mean that there's any age that you should or should not get married, but there's a level of maturity and readiness that you go into that you have to really think about, you know, who really was I? And is yeah. this the person I want to be? And this is in who am I now? And do I want to continue to be this person? And yeah. you can't do that in a relationship with somebody else if you haven't taken the time to do that for yourself. And that comes down to self-love, right? How can yeah. you love somebody else without loving yourself first?
Well, it's just, you know, your inner, everything inside you is just a reflection of what's going to happen outside you. So if there's a lot yeah. of turmoil going on inside you and it hasn't been healed, that's what you're going to attract. And if mm-hmm. that's what you want, the same person that you just got rid of, right. then by all means, go for it. Right. But my guess is you got rid of them or they got rid of you and it didn't work out for a reason. Right. So right. let's peel back the onion a little bit and take a minute to figure out what that is so that mm-hmm. you up level yourself and attract better. Right.
Right. Exactly. And you attract what you're supposed to attract. Right. Yeah. I've seen this with a couple of clients, you know, when they're divorced and they are dating and they meet other people, especially people who were married longer, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, I'm thinking of three right now in particular, that were married or had been married cumulatively for like 20 years, mm-hmm. okay, 20, 25 yeah. years. And dating has been a disaster. And I keep going back to, are you ready for that? Yeah. Have you done enough of your self-work to be at that point where you're ready to find that right person yeah. who is going to complement your energy, right? Like what we're talking about at the beginning is energetically as coaches, we look for people who connect to us energetically and can work with us. Mm-hmm. But you need to find that obviously in your relationship and one that you're going to be intimate and be lovers and care for each other and all of this stuff. You have to have that. But if you don't know who you are yet,
you can't do it.
You can be, you know, and you could totally be bamboozled by this illusion mm-hmm. and learn a truth about someone that didn't really exist because they were trying to be somebody they're not because they didn't take the time to do their self-work and self-healing.
Yeah. And if, I mean, look, if you don't know who you are, no right. one's going to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
so true.
It's hand in hand, right? And it's like, you can wear a mask just as long as the next person, but no mm-hmm. one's getting to know the real you. And if no one gets right. to know the real you, then it's just a facade, right?
Right.
And that's how you end up getting hurt.
Right. And that's how you wind up not living your truth and being right. your authentic you and all of these things that we encourage everybody to do. You know, what I was just thinking about was, you know, this idea of, is there a right healing time, right? How, what do you advise people? You know, when they say, well, I really want to date, when should I start dating? I'm sure that's a popular question that you get. What do you usually say in response to that? What would your answer to that be?
I mean, I think honestly, it so depends on the person and it so depends on what they like, you know, because sometimes, and this is just a fact, the marriage was over 5 years ago and they've been doing the work this whole time, right? Mm-hmm. So they're mm-hmm. ready. You know, they're right. like, right. they're ready, you know? And then there's some people that are like, you know, they just found out their husband cheated on them and has another baby and they're nowhere close to being healed and ready.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So yep. I think it's like, it's such a personal conversation to have. And mm-hmm. I think it comes down to a lot of like self-trust and like asking your body, like, you know, your heart doesn't lie, right? Like,
right.
Your ego is there to protect you. So your ego is going to constantly like tell you things that aren't necessarily true, but your heart is like, you're ready, like go for it. Like you might be pushing mm-hmm. an edge and that's okay. But your heart's going to be like this. It's time. I've had clients that, you know, waited a year, 2 years after the divorce and then they were finally ready and they met someone like that and they didn't really date. And then I have other people that I'm like, you know, take it slow. Like I think as a universal rule, I would say take it slow. Like you really want to get to know someone and you don't want to jump into something and you don't want to get love bombed and all the things, because you are new at dating and it's going to feel really good to have someone be really into you. But you got to take the time to get to know someone, like really get to know someone.
And I think you really struck a nerve there with me when you just said that, like, people that have done the work already and they're ready, they know they're ready, right? And and it's like the ego, as much as it will put those filters in and judgments and all those things in, that's what's really stirring up the fear of being alone. Is that, oh, you failed at this marriage.
So,
you really suck. Then you're never going to meet anybody. You're going to be alone. That's all the ego. That has nothing to do with your soul and your heart and even what your gut is telling you. And I think that's the key, is that I tell people follow their gut and make, because if you're making a decision, I just said this to somebody the other day, if you're making the decision based in fear, it's the wrong decision, right? Yeah. You've got to make a decision outside of fear, because when we make it in fear, we make more mistakes and we bring on our own suffering into that experience. And I think that's so important, especially if you have that fear of being alone. Don't start another relationship because of that fear.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You really have to, like, I tell all my clients, like, when you go through a divorce, your gut's off, right? Like you're kind of like trying to relearn yourself and like get to know, the self-trust is kind of all over the place. So you're trying to learn self-trust again. So you want to make sure that that's really clear before you start dating, so that when you're in a situation, your body is talking to you all the time. We just are like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. Right. But if we get in touch with our bodies and we're like, oh, that feels really good. Or no, that doesn't feel good. You'll know almost immediately when you start to do the work.
And I always say your gut center is your connection to the other side of whatever, the other world, where you get a lot of your angels are protecting you and guiding you. And you've got to recognize that gut reaction is usually the right reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, and because it's the same place that you probably made that decision to get divorced.
Yeah.
You made it from that gut, from that same place. Mm-hmm. The same thing that told you this relationship is no longer good for you. This is no longer working for you. And no matter what energy and effort you put into it, it's not going to be the way that you want it to be.
Yeah.
So get out of it. It's that same thing that tells you this is the right person to go on to next and have a relationship with. You just have to trust that. But trust, like you said, is a really difficult thing for people who are going through divorce, because they feel like they've made all these bad decisions and would have not been in this situation. And, you know, I always tell people, don't sing your shoulda, woulda, couldas in those situations. This is your reality. This is where you are, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Always. You're like this.
Right.
This is here to make you stronger and better and, you know, more amazing than you probably ever knew you could be, you know, but you have to be open to that and accepting of that, of whatever your reality is. And trust me, like, it's not easy. To divorce is not easy, you know?
No, but, I don't think any process where you want something better, is it going to be easy? Right. I don't think, and I think that's what people have to recognize, that you've got to, I always say, my favorite movie is Shawshank Redemption, right?
Oh, and I always use,
it's my favorite. I always use that, you know, that story that Morgan Freeman talks about, you know, Andy Dufresne, that character coming, wading through 500 yards of waste and foul smellingness that you can't even fathom, but he came out clean on the other side, right?
Yeah.
We have to wade through shit at times
to
get to the place where we're clean. And by clean, we are free. We have gotten rid of all of the toxicity that has piled up. And now we come out clean on the other side because we waded through that. We did the work.
Yeah.
And that's for anything. That's not just for divorce. Yeah. It's for any situation.
Yeah.
You wade through the shit to come out better on the other side. But you got to remember that. You have to let go of all of the waste and move through it in order to really come out clean on the other side.
Yeah.
And I think that's any process of change.
Yeah. Life's messy. right? And yeah,
the whole thing is messy.
Yeah, you know, so it's like the quicker we are to accept the fact that it's messy and there's highs and there's lows and it's all that, like, you know, life doesn't happen to you, right? It's happening right for you. And like, we're here and like all the wrong decisions and all the closed doors and all the mess ups, they all got mm-hmm. you to where you are right now. And mm-hmm. that's beautiful if you yep. want it to be. It's you know, right. again,
it's up to you.
It's up to you. Yeah.
It's your choice. Well, yeah. So Letha, this has been awesome. I mean, we could probably talk for hours.
I know.
And I love having you on. And anytime we get together and talk, it's always a great conversation. And we'll definitely have to do this again. So tell everyone how they can reach you. What's the best way to contact you? Where can they find you?
Yeah. And the best way to contact me is on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is LethaMiller.coach. So you can see all my fun videos and DM me away if you'd like. I also have an amazing website that will be coming out very shortly. It's going to be mamasguidetodivorce.com. It's going to be a wonderful community of women that are either going through divorce, been through divorce, single moms. We're going to actually have a community aspect where you can go on and ask questions, and it's going to be really awesome. And then on there, there's tons of divorce references, lawyers, different divorce laws for different states. It's a very detailed, amazing website for anyone that needs some resources.
That sounds fantastic. So that's Mama's Guide to Divorce. .com. Yeah. Mama's Guide to Divorce.com and LethaMiller.coach on Instagram. Letha, thank you so much for being here today, for having this conversation. For those of you that are listening that may be going through a lot of what Letha and I spoke about, you know, reach out to Letha if you feel a connection and you feel that she's the right person to work with for you. I would encourage you to do that. I think it's important that you have a good fit with someone yes. who's been through the process, who understands it, who can understand your struggles. And I think that, Letha, you are absolutely awesome. I love your energy. You bring so much positive energy. You can tell you've gone through your healing journey. You've waded through the shit and come out clean.
I have.
You know, and that's just absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Becoming a coach to share your gifts. It's wonderful.
I mean, I would love to talk to any of your listeners. Let me know. Let me know you guys heard me on here, and I'll give you guys a special surprise.
All right. Fantastic. That's awesome. So we've been talking with Letha Miller, coach. She works with women and mamas who are going through divorce to really empower them to come back to life with their self-confidence. So reach out to her at LethaMiller.coach on Instagram or mamasguidetodivorce.com. That's mamasguidetodivorce.com. Thanks again, Letha, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you for listening. Visit TomMarino.com and sign up for our newsletter. Leave a comment about this episode and learn more about how we can serve you. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And remember, choose your adrenalized life.